The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Burt Show. I want you to brag on the examples of your super fandom. So for instance, let's say you're one of those people that has traveled the country with Phish or the Grateful Dead, and you have seen them 230 times. That's an example that I'm looking for this morning. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. The reason why I'm asking is because Abby did something last night that would be unheard of for Kristen and I.
Unheard of by staying up past 12 a.m. on a weekday on a school night because Taylor Swift was being all cryptic, being like, I'm dropping something at midnight. You don't know what it is. And we're like, we know it's a new album and I can't go to bed because the entire time I'll be thinking about it in my dreams and I'm going to wake up. So I might as well just stay up and then go to bed and get the full REM sleep. So, yeah.
So that's an example of super fandom to us because you get a little bit older and you value that sleep a little more than you do, right? Yeah. So there is nothing, I don't think, except, as I said earlier this morning, maybe my favorite team that hasn't been in a World Series or a Super Bowl, Padres, Chargers. If tickets went on sale at like 12:15 or 12:30 at night, I'd probably set the alarm and then I'd get up and try to get in some kind of online queue for that. But other than that, I have never really gone through great lengths for anything like that.
Yeah, so I'm a huge Kentucky basketball fan, right? And even more so when I was in college. And for Big Blue Madness, this is not even a game. This is like the first practice with the team. And it's like the start of the season. People would camp out for days, like in tents, to snag tickets to this. Yeah, no, I never did that.
No. No.
Right? Don't put me down for that.
I'm not sitting in a tent for over 24 hours trying to procure tickets to anything.
I gave these guys this example earlier this morning that when I was working in Dallas back in the early 1990s or mid-1990s, we had Hanson in a shopping mall doing a couple of different songs, and a woman ended up with a roll of tape on her hand tapping the ground. She was trying to get any member of Hanson's hair to bring back wherever with her.
She was smarter than all of us. She's going to clone them in the future when we finally have that technology. Then she will have 2050's greatest boy band ever.
Here's some that I found online, all right? This is so incredibly random. Super fandom brag. The movie Waterworld.
There's a super fan for Waterworld?
Do you even know the movie Waterworld?
Never even heard of Waterworld.
It was a total flop, right? It was a Kevin Costner movie, and it was at the height when he was doing all these kick-ass movies that were making money after money after money. And then this blockbuster, Tommy could probably fill in the blanks here, they spent so much money. Everybody was talking about how much money they're spending on Waterworld. It came out, and it pretty much kind of sucked.
It tanked.
It tanked. Bad. While I cannot verify this, it is likely I had the very first Waterworld fan website on the internet back in 1995, hand-coded in Notepad.
Oh, my God.
My friend and I watched it in theaters 11 times. It was a flop. I'd managed to pirate a VHS copy before you could go and get one legally. Another one, West Wing by Aaron Sorkin. I don't even need the sound on anymore. I just speak all the dialogue myself. It's also escapism from today's current political strife that I can agree with. Here's one, the Fallout game series. I've brought every single one. I watch YouTube videos at least once a week about lore. I binge the TV series in one sitting. I even still play Fallout 76 every once in a while. Even though I've done everything you can literally do in the game. There's one woman that loves the Avett brothers. Have you guys heard of them?
Yes.
Said she's seen them 13 different times. One person has seen the Avett brothers and they specifically flew to Europe because they were playing a small venue. Tabletop role-playing games, massive collection on them, 1,000 hard copy print rule books and supplements.
Wow. Yeah, I would imagine video game releases would be huge, you know, for your sporting teams. I'm sure there is somebody out there who has like never missed a home game of their, favorite
team. Oh, for sure.
Team.
This one I can get... I could connect with because I could do this. Banana Ball.
Oh, yeah.
They watch 90% of the games. They've been to two of the games in person, which is not an easy ticket to get. Plan to travel 20 hours to see him again. Been talked about specifically by their broadcasters during multiple games. They're definitely bigger fans, she says, but I'm probably in the top 5%.
Still very impressive.
I mean, that's hardcore right there. So let me appeal to you hardcore Taylor Swift fans like Abby because I have an idea.
Okay. And you said this is not a bad idea.
I don't think this is a bad idea. I think this one's a really good idea. I just haven't had a chance because I thought of it this morning to run it by you guys on the show. Told you this morning, I am more excited about the podcast, the New Heights podcast that's coming out tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the New Heights podcast and Taylor Swift is going to be a guest on it on her boyfriend Travis Kelce's podcast. And I'm assuming she's going to be giving us the backstory behind some of the songs and what they mean to her and to Travis. And it's going to be a glittery pop album. And I'm excited to see her geek out over it with her boyfriend and her future brother-in-law.
And voila. And while I like Taylor Swift, I enjoy her music. I'm not a super fan like you. Mm-hmm. I still have to learn to listen to lyrics on songs, which is why I don't have the connection. My musical palette is so basic. But peeking in and listening to them interact and finally getting some insight into their relationship and their chemistry and why they really love each other, that I can get into. And also, it's two football players hosting it.
Right. Is this the first time they've done an interview together?
Yes!
Yes!
It's just crazy. I mean, the clip that dropped last night where she complimented his shirt and then he complimented her eyes. I mean, I kid you not, I watched it on repeat for like 20 minutes because I'm just like, it's so beautiful to just see them in love and just happy. And she's just so normal because in my mind, she's this woman I listen to on the radio or whatever. And I've just looked up to her for so long. And then there she is. She just looks like a normal person with her boyfriend on this podcast. It's crazy.
Okay, is it a stupid idea? And logistically, I don't even know how we'd pull it off right now because Cassie's not here. She's sick. Could we host a podcasting listening party?
Like tomorrow?
Yeah.
I guess.
Like it comes out at what, 7 o'clock tomorrow?
It comes out tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Why? I would do, instead of a podcast listening party, because everybody's going to be listening to them and you're not going to want to talk over them. So it would be
It's like online. So we're listening and we're commenting online with words, not like speaking.
Oh yeah, like we live stream.
Yeah, like we're live streaming.
Yeah, I guess we could do that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, see, I would be like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to focus on, like, I want to watch the interact. It's not even just about listening because they do video. So it'll be like watching the interaction between Travis and Taylor and Jason. Personally, I would be like, okay, we all watch it. And then afterwards, we get together and we talk about what we just watched.
I just think there's something in real time about getting excited about what they're saying and sharing it with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a bad idea. And certainly, there's a massive audience of Swifties that listen to the show because my DMs were booming last night. And there's nothing I want to geek out more than love and Taylor Swift. So I'm down if the people are down.
I think it's no different than when you're watching a podcast now and on the side of the podcast, people are commenting on it. or they're commenting on the video. We're just doing it in real time. We're all listening to it for the first time together, and we have our own live stream where we're talking to each other online.
I think this is something that women are starting to discover, is like the joy of watching things in a group, like how men have done in the past with sports teams. Because I feel like Love Island, specifically this summer, like women were going to bars to watch Love Island like it was the Super Bowl. So I think the girls could get on board and watch this. Maybe not like it's the Super Bowl, but maybe it's like a preseason game.
Let me check with Cassie, see how we can logistically figure it out. We're going to have to do it pretty quick because we're talking about tomorrow night.
Okay, right? I think we can make it happen.
All right, I think we can make it happen also, but we'll have details tomorrow morning to see if we can pull this thing off. It'd be fun. I'm more interested in commenting on their relationship than I am the music.
Honestly, that's all I want to comment on.
I can't
wait for this album to come out and to just dissect every lyric and be like, and this is what this means. And oh my God, I saw that photo. Yep.
And we could all do it together in real time.
So fun.
Hey, The Bird Show. The Bird Show.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, so how did I get insulted by a dead man the last couple of days?
How do you get insulted by a dead man?
Well, Kristen, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you.
Sweet.
So how do I set this up in the proper order? I was at a radio convention last week. That's why we're in here. I was in Austin on Thursday and Friday. And my background is I worked on a radio show in Dallas for 2 years. It was the Kid Craddock in the Morning Show. I mean, this guy was a mad scientist. I've bragged about him so many times on this show because not only was he my mentor, he became a brother figure to me. I loved this guy. He loved me. We were very, very similar in our insecurities and our dysfunctional family background. So we bonded on a whole bunch of different levels. And man, he was such an icon in radio. He was one of the first to syndicate his shows. He was on 79 different radio stations. We had started to build a business together also, and the exit strategy was when he was taking off from radio, he was planning on giving me the keys to the kingdom. 79 shows. He had so much confidence in me, right? Which is overwhelming to think of. But then he passed away and he messed up our business plan. Anyway. Right. So anyway, when I started with him in Dallas, again, I'm walking in this studio and I'm looking at him with superstardom eyes. I can't believe I have this opportunity to work with this super talented guy. And he really was beloved in Dallas and everywhere. So it's a little intimidating to sit in on a show like that that has so much credibility, but he took a chance on me, right? So this was an amazing opportunity. So I'm there for 2 years. And when he would never really, when he was out up until when I was in that studio, I don't think he ever allowed anybody else to try to host the show before when he was out. It was just like, hey, I'm Kid. If I'm out, everybody's out. Well, he started when I was there to give me the keys to that car when he was out. And again, I had never hosted a show before. And here I am now going to be on 79 stations. I don't know that we were syndicating it that much at that point, but it was a lot.
Which is funny when you use that analogy, knowing what a bad driver you are and how many things you
Well, imagine driving a Lamborghini, which was what his car was. And this is the first time that you've ever been behind the wheel of a car. And he was giving me that responsibility. So what I do when I'm insecure about something like that, and I still do it today during interviews or whatever, is I will over-prepare for the show. That my fallback, if my security is having everything nice and laid out, there's no way we're going to run out of any kind of content, because I am coming in there and I am going to have days and days of content, right? Which is what I did. I was reminded about this weekend from who the producer of the show was at the time. His name's Stevie, and he's the greatest guy ever. So he and I are having dinner the other night, and he goes, I think you know this story about kids' migraines. And I'm like, well, I know he had migraines because I'd be in studio and they were so bad that he would leave the studio and he would go in a very dark office. And then when we had to go back on the air, he would run back in there because the lights hurt his eyes. The audio from the show hurt his ears. So he'd run in, he would do the show, and then back out into another office, and we wouldn't see him until we had to go back on the air. So the migraines were certainly there, right? Anyway, so he's out one day because of his migraines, and I show up on that very first date, and as Stevie reminded me, I showed up with no, this is not hyperbole, you guys, 7 legal pads of content.
Seven?
7 legal pads of content, because I was so nervous going into the show, right? Well, the co-host, the female co-host at the time, didn't like any male that ever joined this show, man. I mean, cold shoulder, wouldn't interact. She let it known that no, I am not into it. He said, I went through 7 legal pads of content by 7:30 and had nothing else to talk about for like the last hour and a half of the show. So we had to ad-lib it, right? I'm so stressed out about it. But at the end of the day, you know, for a first time driving a Lamborghini, I thought I did a really good job, right? Happened again a couple of weeks later. I don't know if I got any better or not, but I was certainly trying. And this is the time where the general manager hits me up after the show and says, hey, just want to let you know that hosting a show is not for everybody. It takes a special talent, right?
Driving a car, not for everybody.
Right, not for everybody. That's not for me either, right? But Stevie told me this weekend, and here comes the insult, right? Kids used to call him up and say, Stevie, I'm going to have a migraine tomorrow. And Stevie would be like, okay. And then he started to ask Stevie why, or ask kid why. Why? Because sometimes you have to take a day off to let the radio station know how bad it sounds when you're not on it.
No. That is the most kid thing I have ever heard. It's job security, baby.
I was floored. I was absolutely floored. I thought he was giving me this opportunity to sort of flex a little bit, right? I will tell you a similar story that I have never told you yet before, Abby. Do you remember when, I think I might have been at Ole Miss?
Okay.
And were you and Mo hosting the show that day?
There have been a couple of days where Mo and I have looked at each other and gone, it's just you and I.
Yes.
And we have no preparation. We're just like winging it.
So the very first day that we did that, when I was at Ole Miss, and Kristen was out that day also.
Uh-huh.
So it was the two of you guys, and I was supposed to be on the air, but we were having technical difficulties in the first hour and a half of the show, right? So you guys are doing the show, and the show sounds great. It sounds so good. Tommy and the engineers end up getting the engineering and the programming part perfect by like 7:15. You guys were vibing so well and the show was so good. I said to Tommy that morning, I want them to do the entire show by themselves so they can host the show by themselves and they can prove to themselves they can do it. So until I listened to the entire show, but I had the ability to be on. But that was like for you guys to grow in that position and really feel yourself, build the confidence that when we weren't around, you guys would be able to do it. That's what I thought. Kid was doing for me, which is one of the reasons of my thought of doing it for you and Mo. Okay, so it wasn't that at all.
Are you sure? So when I go to morning show boot camp in 20 years, I'm not going to be talking to like Katie, and she's gonna be like, "Yeah, actually, that day he actually thought you guys sounded like
Tutu." I was absolutely floored. I had to laugh about it because that really was Kid Craddock. Kid Craddock was the kind of guy. This is. No BS story. The first time I ever even ran a board, doing the controls behind the board, everybody in there is talking, and there's somebody like Tommy has to run everything and make sure the mics are up and you're going to commercials and everything. I had never done that before I got to Dallas. Never. When I was working in Washington, D.C. So I get to Dallas, and Kid calls me up on the phone, and he goes, "Okay, you're training on Saturday morning on how to run the board. Just want to let you know. Be there Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning." So I'm very nervous about it, but at least I'm going to learn. So if Kid needs me to run the board, I got it, right? I show up to the radio station. This is not a lie. This is not a lie. The guy running the board is blind. His name is Blind Blake.
No, it's not.
I swear to you, he is blind and he is teaching me how to run a board.
Oh my God. That's so impressive.
It's the blind leading the blind.
Yes. That's exactly what it was, man. And there was story after story like that. But on this particular one where I was so stressed out and I'm coming in with 7 legal pads, right?
Wow.
And he's giving me this massive opportunity to showcase my talents. No, it was to showcase how bad the show sounded when I wasn't even there, man.
And that's why I have anxiety about leaving, because I don't want you guys to realize how good the show sounds when I'm not.
It does play to every radio guy and woman's insecurity that when the host is out, is the show going to suck? Mm-hmm. Or so when we start to see comments now, when one of us is out, it just doesn't sound the same. Well, of course it can't sound the same. A major player is out. But I came in there eager, ready, so proud of myself. And I was set up because he knew it was going to suck.
I love that Kid is still getting you from beyond.
Still, dead man insulted me.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So Abby, brother and fiance, found their dream wedding venue, but there are only 2 dates, both on major holidays?
Yeah, they're wondering if they might be the a-holes for choosing their dream wedding venue, but wanting to do it next year, and the only dates available are major holidays. So they're like, this is either going to be really fun for a lot of people, it's going to be one big party, or they're going to be very upset that they have to leave maybe their original plans on this major holiday. So my brother just got engaged a couple of months ago. It's almost 2 months now. It's about a month and a half out. I helped him plan the proposal. I was so excited to do it because I really love him and her together. I think they are very well suited for each other. It's been a little bit of a quick relationship. I mean, they got together, I think, in August of last year, and here we are planning a wedding 1 year later.
Right.
And they recently toured a bunch of venues, which is so exciting. The girlies love that. I was looking for the photos. I was on the knot.com, and I was like, show me pictures. I want to know what you're choosing. And they finally settled on a place.
At some point when you're doing all this planning and you're helping him out, do you ever flash back to the first couple of weeks where you're like, this is outrageous. Like, he's falling so quickly, and you were on the fence about this relationship.
Well, it just flabbergasted me for a couple of reasons. The first reason was that his girlfriend, well, I don't even know if she was his girlfriend, this girl that he had dated for a couple of months before his fiance, she was like 21 or 22. And I'm like, okay, we know how this worked out. Like, you got to stop robbing the cradle. Like, you're 29. And so his fiance is a little bit younger too, which I do think in hindsight is good because he leans a little bit immature and she leans more mature. She was 22 when they started dating, and I just didn't take it seriously because I'm like, here we are, like another girl who just graduated college. Like, she just turned the tassels 30 days ago, and you're like a grown adult.
Like, you're off our parents' health insurance, you pay taxes, I just didn't see how it was going to work out. But I've just been really pleasantly surprised, and we're all planning a group trip to Charleston to go wedding dress shopping. And so, you know, it has just flipped a lot. And I think because I was so hesitant in the beginning, people thought that maybe there was beef. There was no beef. Mm-hmm. I love them together. It was just shocking because it happened so quick. And I was like, she's so young, like, this isn't going to work out. So the fact of the matter is, it is working out very well. They are getting married in 2026. Like, it is happening. Like, we are moving straight forward. They have found a beautiful wedding venue that I'm very excited about. It's in our hometown of Jacksonville, which is ironically where they did not want to get married. But this this venue is so beautiful, and it is like brand new. It has gorgeous views of like the marsh. And so when the sun sets, it like reflects off the water, and there's all these old trees, and it's just going to be a gorgeous wedding. All of this to say is they want to get married in 2026 because, again, this relationship has moved very, very fast. And there's only two dates. There is a date in July. It is on July 4th. And there is a date a couple days after Christmas in December. And they are so determined to book this venue because it's within the budget and it's beautiful and they want to get married next year that they're like, okay, well, which is the worst of the two, or which is the better of the two? Is it July 4th or is it a couple of days after Christmas when we make this happen? And truly, like, are we the a-holes if we make everyone leave their holiday plans to come hang out with us on our wedding day?
That's a tough call. Tough call.
All right. So, I'm not a fan of weddings on holidays. Because for a lot of people, vacations are far and few between. We are extremely fortunate here. And I know the listeners are aware of this because you guys like to let us know every time we're out how much vacation we get, right? So, you know, those times, personally, so I'm making myself a wedding guest, okay, right? I am not invited to this wedding, nor should I be, but I'm pretending like I'm a wedding guest, okay?
Gotcha.
And I get that. And you're eating up my vacation time for your wedding. Now, obviously, if this is a couple that you are very close to and you love, why wouldn't you want to spend your vacation at somebody's wedding? Doesn't that sound like a great time? And now having a kid in the mix, if you are a guest with a child, I know how crazy December is and the holidays are. I might catch a flight to Jacksonville just to strangle your brother for inviting me to a wedding that was a couple days after Christmas. Plus, I'm thinking from like a financial standpoint, during the holidays, you're already spending so much money on gifts, and now you have to throw a wedding into the mix. If you have to travel, if you have to, you know, you're purchasing a wedding gift now. And so it's a lot.
No, you're saving money because then you don't have to get them a Christmas gift. You just get them a wedding gift.
Here is Megan, who has some experience in this area. Hey, Megan, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, morning, guys.
Good morning. What's going on?
Let you guys know, I have actually done this and been through it. In 2009, my husband and I got married. I had also picked out the 4th of July. My attitude was, hey, whoever's most important to us, they'll make it a priority to be there, and it'll be a big party. But one thing that we didn't think through is how the holiday actually affected the whole event, and we had to last minute move our wedding up a month. A lot of the vendors that they deal with, they are not going to be available to the bride and groom to do the event. So, like, the caterer we wanted, the florist we wanted, all of those things. So that caused major issues. I'm not sure they may have thought through. And most importantly, depending on where they're getting married, everybody has the city shut down for 4th of July parades. So our guests weren't even going to be able to actually get to our venue because all of the city streets are shut down everywhere across the nation for 4th of July.
That makes a lot of sense.
And hotels are going to be more expensive because it's a holiday as well.
Okay, here's an option, though, for July 4th weekend. Hang tight. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Good morning, y'all. So I was just listening to the last caller. I didn't think about vendors because I'm a photographer and my wife is a caterer. We called them favors and got married on July 3rd. It was a breeze. Oh. And everybody who attended our wedding said, like, hey, we love this, man. We are here for y'all. But our wedding was small. We were like 50, 60 people top. So That might be a little different for your situation, Abby, but, I mean, if you got favors and you can use them, now is the time to start calling them in.
Huh. Here's what I kind of like about this idea. On the 3rd, you're not going to have to deal with any of the traffic problems when it comes to fireworks and parades and all that. And then you guys are all together for the 4th if you want to be there. And if not, go home.
Well, that was my suggestion, but they don't want to get married on a Friday. But the way I phrased it was, a lot of people that I know that plan destination weddings specifically chose destination weddings, even though it would be more expensive for the guests or it would be more of an inconvenience for them, because they only wanted people that truly wanted to be there and cared about this couple enough to make that kind of sacrifice to show up. So in some way, I do think there's a positive where it's like, you're just weeding out the people that don't care about you that much.
Good morning, Jessica. You are part of the Burt Show. Thanks for calling.
Abby, I was just going to say the same thing. So I got married the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And so literally everybody was already in town. The hotel was cheap because we got married in the city. Also, Jacksonville sounds awful to get married in July. Mm. But I will say that when we got married at Thanksgiving, we had all the grandparents there because they were already in town. It was just kind of something to do because, you know, like after Thanksgiving, it's like, well, what do we do now? So, and to the point about the destination, we were able to, it whittled down our guest list easily because people were like, well, oh, we can't make it because we've already got plans. And so the people who really wanted to be there were there, which definitely helped our bottom line as well. So I definitely vote for the December wedding. It'll be great either way, but I would definitely not do 4th of July in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it'll be a little sweaty in July.
No doubt, right?
Everybody's going to be glistening.
Uh-huh. But I don't sweat, I sparkle. Oh. So they'll be like, oh my gosh, one of the bridesmaids is so glowy today. She's glowing. Yeah, just disgustingly sweaty.
You're on The Burt Show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
For dudes listening, here's the equivalent. Your team just made it out of the lower rounds of the playoffs, and you just found out that they're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. That is how Abby feels this morning about Taylor Swift. So let's give her that time.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It is a terrible day to be a hater of Taylor Swift because, unfortunately, I have been given the go-ahead to talk about it as much as I want.
It is your e-buzz, girl.
You should. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest things. I would love the country to be distracted by this.
This is a happy, glittery, joyful story. This is a woman who is mostly self-made, who is a billionaire pop star, who really only puts good into the world, who fell in love with also a lovely human who is good at football. I mean, it's an American love story. I mean, really, that's what the name of her next album should have been. But we got the announcement last night at 12 a.m. Still recovering from that, that her next album, TS12, is going to be called The Life of a Showgirl. And weirdly enough, because we were just talking about my brother in the last break, during that break, he must have known somehow that I was talking about him because he texted me, him of all people, texted me some pretty interesting Taylor Swift conspiracy theories about why she decided to name the her album TS12, The Life of a Showgirl, and it has everything to do with her drama with Kanye West.
What?
So if you remember the lore from 2016, basically Kanye, back when he was married to Kim, they recorded a phone call of Taylor Swift where they were asking for permission for her name to be used in a song called Famous. Basically, it says something like, I feel like me and Taylor might still have bleep. I made that bleep famous. And it was an edited phone call. And then the world called her a liar when she said that she didn't approve of it, because they were like, here's this video where you're approving it. And she's like, well, no, I didn't approve of everything. So that's where a lot of the drama came from. And then he put out this horrible music video where he took all these like wax figures of celebrities and she was in there. And it's basically like revenge porn, essentially. And then the world canceled her. So she has said, people greatly underestimate how much I will inconvenience myself to prove a point. All of this to say is the song that is used, that uses her name, and when she didn't approve it, Famous, when he said, I made that be famous, it's on an album called The Life of Pablo. It is also an album with an orange cover. Okay. And so The Life of a Showgirl, now being associated with the color orange, now when people go to their streaming services and they Google The Life of blah, 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 her album will probably come up before his with just her trajectory of success in the music industry.
Wow.
So now there's a conspiracy going that she basically named her album this to be able to outrank Kanye West on the streaming charts.
She's not so mad at it.
She's so beautifully petty.
Petty,
especially,
right?
Especially when she was right. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, when they came out and basically said like this was an edited phone call and it cleared her name despite the fact that the world didn't want to hear from her for a year.
And she basically went in hiding for a year.
She went into hiding for a year. She was falling in love with her ex-boyfriend, her boyfriend at the time. And to be fair, like, gave me one of my favorite albums of all time afterwards because of the situation. So it is gearing me up to be very excited about this album, because I'm like, if it feels anything like Reputation, which is the album that came after that situation, I'm going to be in love with it.
Give me that quote that she said again about inconvenience, because I think that I'm going to use this from this point forward, because this is great.
People often greatly underestimate me on how much I will inconvenience myself to prove a point.
She will, man. So I remember when she was talking about redoing all of her songs just to kind of screw Scooter Braun over.
I think that's when she used that exact quote.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking, I've been in positions like that before where I thought about this grand gesture and I was ready and I was fired up, but then I realized how much work it was going to take to put into it, and then I just let it go. Not Taylor, man.
Uh-huh. She's willing to be petty. And you know what? If the world is going to cancel you and going to try and tear down your career that you worked so hard for, honestly, you go, girl. You have The Life of a Showgirl come out, and I will be streaming it on repeat. I will be streaming it in my sleep just to make sure that it tops out what I call the revenge porn song. So I'm very, very excited for TS12. You're going to see lots of people, you know, throwing out other theories. Maybe it's a double album, because in this clip in the New Heights podcast that is coming out tomorrow with her boyfriend Travis Kelce, where she's going to be talking about the album, there's two TS's in the corner, and it looks like one is an album cover and it's orange, and then it looks like there's another album cover and it's red. Like, we're going to be seeing so much come out, and I'm just loving the chatter about it already.
I think that if you are looking for a career with the FBI or the CIA, if you put on your resume that you are a Swiftie, they should hire you immediately. Because of the level of detail you go into figuring stuff out.
They may be using her and we don't know it.
She's a spy.
Right?
This is my career trajectory when radio dies, FBI,
yes.
Spy. It'll be great. All right, Jennifer Aniston is opening up about her love triangle with Brad Pitt for the first time in years. I'm going to spill the tea on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
All right, so while Abby has been focusing on the album, I am focusing on the podcast. The podcast that Taylor Swift is going to be doing, New Heights.
The New Heights podcast that drops tomorrow at 7 p.m. New time. It typically comes out in the morning. But at 7 p.m., there is going to be a release for us to all watch Taylor Swift and her boyfriend talk about this album that is probably going to be mostly about him.
I am so invested in that. I love this podcast. I listen to it sporadically, but it is great. All right. And this is going to be the first time that we really get to see and hear the chemistry that these guys have. We see pictures of them on vacation together. We see them at games together, kissing on the sidelines. But to hear them speak and be able to judge that chemistry or enjoy that chemistry, I'm really interested in. So I brought an idea to the table this morning just during the show and haven't had a chance to really run it by anybody. And I would really like to do sort of a listening party for the podcast tomorrow night, which is at 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to drop at 7 p.m. I think it'll probably drop on YouTube at the same time. So not only will we get to listen to it, but we will get to watch them interact and just those small moments that, like, let's be real, like, girls eat this stuff up. Like, we love to see, like, those little interactions where, like, they look at each other and they share a longing glance, or they make a little quip at each other. They kind of give each other a hard time when they, you know, stumble over their words or something. It's just going to be really cool to see these huge public figures be humanized on this podcast.
All right. So when I come in here with an idea, because I'm not the one behind the scenes doing all the work, right? I always think, oh, how hard can it be? Right? Oh, that's going to just, we'll just do a live stream during the podcast. Cassie's not here today. She's working from home. I've got a lot of meetings after the show today. So I would like to call her up right now and see if this is possible. She's not sick. Her family is sick, but she's okay. Or I wouldn't call.
Yeah, that would be jacked up if she was out sick today and you were calling her, but she's not. She's working from home.
I'd have you make that call. Hey, Cass.
Hi, Cass.
We're on the show.
Hey, guys.
So don't use that sailor's mouth of yours to cuss all over the place. I had an idea this morning I want to run by you real quick, but if it's possible, we'd have to do it real quick.
Okay.
So Taylor Swift is going to be on the New Heights podcast tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
This is the far more interesting part of this whole Taylor Swift thing. The album's coming out. Clearly, Swifties are very excited about the album. But to hear the two of them, like, interact and talk and feel their chemistry together, I'm excited about that. And I think there are a lot that may not even really be into, like, a lot of football fans, I think, finally, will probably listen to this just to hear their chemistry together.
I love that. And then white men on the internet will stop giving me a hard time for loving this woman.
Yeah, don't. Just don't. So I had the idea that we would somehow, like, listen to the podcast. We and Burt Show fam listen to the podcast live, but do an online chat room or something like that. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Yeah, I think there used to be, like, a thing during the pandemic. It was called House Party, and people could be, like, in like a room with each other and they could chat. We kind of did something for the Love Island thing. Me and Rebecca just live streamed on Instagram, and we just watched Love Island and then just chatted with people in the comments. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways where we can doctor this.
Can you think we could pull that off?
Yeah, for sure. I think we should do the live stream. We'll have Abby take over the Burt Show's live stream, and then she can admit people as co-hosts, whether it's you or KK or me or any listener who wants to start chatting about what's being said. And that way people can converse in the comments and we can read them all.
Would you be into that?
I'm going to be watching it, so I might as well watch it with a bunch of other people. It'd be way more fun instead of me just in my basement. Like, I can't wait to watch my favorite celebrity couple.
And if you invite me as a collaborator, I'd love to get in on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I'll have Tommy call you after the show. We'll put this whole thing together, and then maybe by tomorrow morning we can have all the details worked out. Do you have time to work on that today?
For sure.
Okay.
Cool. I'm reaching new levels of parasocial relationship with with Travis and Taylor.
Beautiful.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.